This is Back to You Box Office, episode number 322, for the weekend of June 1st through June 3rd. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, this podcast where we talk about movies, TV, and other ways we entertain ourselves. So, Art, how are things going over there?
Oh, it's so hot. It's Texas. I'm melting. It was a 11-hour day, and I wanted to cry. But now I'm home, and I'm off for a little bit, and so now I'm happy.
All right. So what's the opposite of happy? Basically every Disney executive about how Solo was last weekend. So let's talk about what happened at the box office last week. So for Memorial Day weekend, which is May 25th through May 27th, and for people, for new listeners, we do not count Monday. We traditionally just do Friday through Sunday. And so here's your top five for Friday through Sunday of last weekend. At number one, we have new release Solo, A Star Wars Story. $84.4 million. Number two, we have Deadpool 2 with $43.5 million in its second week release. And at third, we have Avengers : Infinity War at $17.3 million. And that's in its fifth week release. By the way, total domestic gross, $622 million. At number four, we have Book Club at let's just call it $10 million even, and that is in its second week release. And at number five, we have Life of the Party at $5.4 million, and that's in its third week of release. And so there is your top five. Strangely enough, the next highest new release at 24, How Long Will I Love You, $204,000. So, yeah, I know. Good story, right, Jeff? All right.
Uh-huh. Especially being on 23 screens.
I was just going down to the next yellow. Okay. So what do you think, Art? What do you think?
Wow. I mean, $84 million for the three-day weekend gross. And I don't know. I think it's a little down, but I don't think it's as bad as they're playing it out to be. I mean, I guess they were expecting a lot more, and that's always going to set yourself up for failure when you're trying to, you know, predict what you're going to get, and you're counting, you know, don't count your chickens before they're hatched, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I don't know, there's a lot of metaphors there, but it's just I don't know. I still haven't seen it, so I don't really know. The people I know who have seen it have enjoyed it. So I don't know. I'm torn. I think it's gonna stay on top because, you know, nothing is slated to be really going up against it in this next weekend. They kind of left it open, just like nobody went up against it in last weekend. When you're talking about the other movies that opened that weekend were 23 theaters, four theaters, you know, 2-2, 1-1. There's a bunch of stuff that opened. It was all tiny. Nobody wanted to go against what they thought was a juggernaut. And it really wasn't. So we'll see where it goes. Maybe they'll learn to slow down how much Star Wars content we're getting. You know, two movies a year, maybe a tad too much, even though they're going, you know, like one main trilogy storyline and then one off the beaten path story. Maybe it's too much. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I was just, I think you said what I was going to say is that, I think it's kind of a two-headed monster here. The first head is what you talked about, that, you know, the previous Star Wars movie was 5 months prior, and the second one was that it wasn't an across-the-board hit, The Last Jedi.
Right.
So, you know, everyone's asking, you know, what Disney's gonna, you know, is Disney going to reevaluate?
Yeah, and if you had asked me what's going to have more staying power in the long term, you know, the Star Wars franchise or comic book movies, I would have bet hands down that Star Wars would have less of a road to hoe. And yet it's really not the case. you know, here they are faltering, and yet the comic book movies are still rolling out like crazy.
Well, to me, there's a difference because of the source material for comic books as opposed to Star Wars. And I think we talked about a while back about that there's a lot for Star Wars, but Disney decided to, you know, not make it canon.
Yeah, but that was only... I don't agree with that. I 100% don't agree with that because they have no problems with bringing things back into canon. They just don't want to deal with everything all at once.
Right.
You know, they very easily, if they see something they like and they want to use it, they put it in the movie and it's back in canon. And it's just that simple. So I really don't see that as a problem. All that stuff is still there. It's just they've moved it into Legends so that they don't have to explain anything and say, well, you know, we have to explain around this. We have to explain around that. We don't have to explain anything. It's all not canon until we say it's canon.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is they probably would have been smarter to base it off of something that was in the novels.
Okay.
Almost part and parcel, not how they tend to lift sections out of different books.
I see what you're saying. Kind of okay. Thing,
you know.
Okay.
You know.
It's easy to second guess in hindsight.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they understood what they were buying when they got Chris Miller and, you know, Miller and Lord to do it.
Yeah.
And then they didn't like how they worked and they, you know, lifted him kind of thing. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. All right. So that's going to be – oh, I was trying to find a tweet, but I can't find it. But, you know, Exhibitor Relations was talking about – you know, remember back when Iger said that, oh, we're just going to do a Star Wars movie once every 2 years kind of thing. He says, I got to get my hands on a Disney calendar to make sure how many days are in a year for Disney.
Yeah, no doubt.
Also, I was going to ask you if we looked at Memorial Day weekend last year.
Okay.
Do you remember what was number one?
Oh, I couldn't even hazard a guess. Okay.
Well, I just thought, you know, maybe might be able to pull it out. So at number one for 2017, Pirates, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Okay.
$62.9 million. Number two, we had Guardians of the Galaxy in its fourth week release at $20 million. New movie Baywatch, $18.5 million. And then Alien Covenant, and then Everything. I don't even remember what that was about. Oh, it was a young adult romance type thing.
That's surprising. If you had asked me about how I thought Memorial Day weekend performs as a theatrical weekend, I would have thought it was better than that. But I guess really people are out and about doing, you know, barbecues and going to the beach and, you know, whatever, blah-de-blah. So that's interesting because that's not that big of an opening either. Okay.
All right. Well, okay, let's go back to 2016 then.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. What did they do to me? Okay, hold on a second. Okay. 2016, number one was X-Men Apocalypse, $65.7 million.
Mm-hmm.
Alice Through the Looking Glass. Those are basically the two wide releases then we had, or the two new releases. Then we had Angry Birds Movie, Captain America Civil War, and Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. And if we go back to 2015, yeah, see, I don't know if that's...
Just because you click a year back doesn't mean it's necessarily Memorial Day.
Well, I mean, but usually if you find the weekend and it says click here to view the 4-day weekend.
That
usually means it was Memorial Day. So if like in 2015, it was the 22nd through the 24th. Number one, Tomorrowland, $33 million. Number two, Pitch Perfect 2, $30 million. Mad Max Fury Road, $24.6 million. Number four, Poltergeist. Number five, Avengers Age of Ultron. So, yeah, it's actually been trending up a little bit.
A little bit, but it's still not a huge weekend, right. Which I would have guessed it was because it's a holiday weekend. But like I said, people are doing other things. It's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
All right. So let's close the book on last week's box office results. And now the next segment is what's new at the movies. So we will look at new movies that will be in the theater this weekend. So, Art, we have one new movie. So why don't you tell us about it?
Okay, so we are going to talk about Adrift. There is currently no tomato meter available. 88% want to view it out of a paltry 230 user ratings. starring Shailene Woodley, Fault in Our Stars, Divergent Films, and Sam Claflin, Me Before You, The Hunger Games film, Adrift is based on the inspiring true story of two sailors who set out to journey across the ocean from Tahiti to San Diego. Tammy Oldham, Woodley, and Richard Sharp, Claflin, couldn't anticipate they would be sailing directly into one of the most catastrophic hurricanes in recorded history. In the aftermath of the storm, Tammy awakens to find Richard badly injured and their boat in ruins. With no hope for rescue, Tammy must find the strength and determination to save herself and the only man she has ever loved. Rated PG-13 for injury images, peril, language, brief drug use, partial nudity, and thematic elements. Genre is drama and romance, directed by Balthazar Komaku, and written by Aaron Candle, Jordan Candle, and David Branson Smith. And there is no runtime listed.
Yeah, even IMDb doesn't have a runtime listed.
Well, there you go. And we have all of five people listed for the cast, two of which we've already named. And then we have Jeffrey Thomas, Elizabeth Hawthorne, and Grace Palmer. So, yeah, we have no critic reviews. We don't really have a lot to go on. I haven't even seen a trailer for this.
Me neither. So, yeah, what else is there to say? I mean,
it's, not much. Really not in my wheelhouse at all.
Maybe if there isn't another Indiana Jones rerun or a marathon like they were on Memorial Day.
You mean video? You mean cable?
Yeah, cable.
Okay.
Video, I think that's it, but anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I wouldn't. I'll probably safe to say I won't be watching in any way, shape, or form.
And like I said, I think that's why we can safely say Star Wars will still be number one next week.
Yeah, true. And a little look ahead at movies we'll be talking about next weekend. We have three wide releases: Hereditary, which is a horror movie; Hotel Artemis, an action thriller; and then Ocean's 8. So that will be next week.
Have you seen that preview for Hotel Artemis yet?
Yes.
Okay. It was the last time we talked about it, you hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
It does look interesting. Yeah,
it does look interesting. All right. So that's going to be it for our look at the what's coming out in the theater this weekend. And so now we're going to start Share Time. This is the segment where Art and myself talk about what we've been watching over since we recorded last, which in this particular instance will be from 2 weeks ago. But also, we play voicemails from any of the fine people that send us a voicemail. And so our serial voicemailer, Tad, has sent us a something hot off the presses. So, Tad, tell us what you've been up to.
Hey guys, this is Tad calling in with what I've been watching. Let's see. I went and saw The Quiet Place. I didn't think I was really going to like it, but I had time, and so I decided to go see a movie, and that was the one that was playing that I hadn't seen yet. So I went and saw it, and I really liked it. It was a good movie. I would recommend seeing it. I just, good. It was... Yeah, really enjoyed it. Okay, and then after that was over, I kind of went in and watched a little bit of the Deadpool movie. It was okay. If you like the first movie, you're gonna like this one. I think it was just kind of a little bit too goofy for me. I laughed aloud a couple of times. But there are parts of it I don't know. It was okay. That's my feeling on it. I'm sure it's going to do really well though, and people are going to really like it. And but for me, it was just okay. I've also been watching, been catching up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This current season, I'm probably still about three episodes back. I'm really liking it. It's really good. I highly recommend Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, let's see. Well, maybe Friday night or so, I'm going to be driving past Jeff's house. I don't remember exactly where he lived. I think he told me the town he lived in. I remember it being on the 210, and so I'm going to be driving down the 210. My sister's getting married, so I'm going to be driving up through California, up into Central California there. And so I'll wave when I'm driving through on the 210 there, Jeff. I don't remember exactly where it is you live, but I'll give it a wave. And thanks for the show, guys, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Tad. Yeah, I, you know, Quiet Place will probably be, I probably won't see it in the theater, but I'm going to try to go see Deadpool. So, all right.
Well, I like how you're clearly glossing over the fact that he's going to be passing close to your house, not stopping in to see you. Last time he came to Dallas, he came and saw me. I'm just saying.
All right, ego boy.
We just know who his favorite host is by his actions. I'm just saying. No. Okay.
All right. Don't give Tad a complex now. All right. All right. So we're done with that. Art, what'd you watch last week or last 2 weeks?
Okay. So, all right. Okay. So I got a lot of stuff watched, but not a lot of new stuff. So I was cleaning out the DVR. And I had seen this before, but I wanted to watch it with Aubrey. So I watched the new Jaden Smith Karate Kid, and she really enjoyed that. And then she ended up going to bed, and then I kept cleaning out the DVR. And I watched The Amazing Spider-Man. And it was not the dumpster fire that I was led to believe. It was by no means a great movie, but it wasn't terrible. I enjoyed it for what it was, another Spider-Man film, it pales in comparison to what Tom Holland has done, but I, considering when it was done and who it was done with, I didn't think it was that bad, and I will actually go down, I will go and look for the second one with Electro Jamie Foxx and see how that one was, because it was entertaining. I was entertained, and it did not bother me as much as a lot of people. It could be that I didn't pay to go see it at the theater. I saw it, you know, just on cable in my own home. I don't know, but I didn't think it was that bad. So we got up the next day. This was Saturday night, and Aubrey decided. No, actually, that was Sunday night, and Aubrey was off on Monday, and she decided we were gonna have a movie marathon all day on Memorial Day, and so we started off with the new Ghostbusters, and I thoroughly enjoyed rewatching that. I've seen it multiple times because she really really likes it. We went with Kung Fu Panda 3. Which also seen multiple times. I mean, she had a literal stack of DVDs that we were working our way through as we just lazed about on Memorial Day. She watched the Shopkins movie. I went and did other things and let her finish the Shopkins movie. We watched Sky High, and then we finished it off with what was the last thing we watched? Oh, she just put on some episodes of Stormhawks, a Canada-based TV show, flying motorcycles, islands in the sky type thing. And so it was all just very enjoyable, nice relaxing day, just watching a bunch of stuff with her. The only other thing I got to was I went and saw Deadpool 2, which I thoroughly enjoyed. It was everything that Deadpool 1 was. It was just all around entertaining, fun. There were so many jokes, so many inside things, so many. It was worth it just for the stuff that happens at the end of the movie. Kind of like that, and they're almost like stingers, but not quite. Domino, Zazie Beetz, I think completely killed it in her role. The rest of X-Force, the kind of twists and turns it took, I just had me in stitches. I say it's two thumbs up. It's definitely worth seeing. If you enjoyed the first one, you're going to enjoy the second one. And I really want to see where it goes from here. And that wraps up my share time, sir.
So, yeah, a comment about Amazing Spider-Man. I did not think it was a steaming turd when I watched it, and I still don't think that opinion will change. I remember the high school scene as being very memorable, and setting the end game of the movie at the top of the building, that is never a bad idea.
Hmm.
I wish we had, you know, I always enjoyed that stuff in superhero movies. All right, so what have I been watching? I don't think that I can really say that I have watched too much of anything over the past 2 weeks.
Mm.
News story number one, I know I'm kind of jumping the gun, is still haven't seen Infinity War. That will be happening this weekend, I promise you.
Okay.
Now, I will kind of pull in like a mini review from a very good friend of mine who we really don't see eye to eye on a lot of the Marvel movies. And he did not enjoy Punisher on Netflix. But I will say this. He said that Infinity War is his favorite Marvel movie of all of them. Yeah, he said, yeah, it's that good. And usually he doesn't say good things about movies. He just says, you know, it was better than this, or, you know, he's kind of a half empty type thing. But anyways, I think I got one more episode in of Killjoy, so I think I have two more left. And you know, not much to say about that. I was at a game convention over the past 4 days, and I'm still kind of on cloud nine because, you know, this was like the first time where I met a lot of new people, and, you know, we got along so well that we kind of were like, you know, making sure that we were coming to the next one so we can kind of make plans kind of thing. So it was just, you know, it didn't start out great, but it was just a lot of fun. And, you know, I never see what's coming. You know, it's nice to be surprised once in a while. That's all I'm saying. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next one and hooking, or not really hooking, but seeing these people again. So we'll see if that happens or not. All right. So that's going to end my very miserable share time. So now, speaking
wait, of... Wait. So here's the thing. Neither one of us went to see Solo. We're the problem. We're the reason it's in the tank. I'm going to own it.
We are not even 15 zeros, 1% of that formula, dude. So don't even...
We're the tastemakers, no. Man. We tell our friends about it. Maybe go and see it. We're not selling it.
No. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry. Okay. So, you know, it was kind of that thing about where the chain letter that goes around about, you know, this day you need to boycott the gas stations or whatever because the gas prices are too high. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're not going to make a dent. So it doesn't really matter. Disney's going to make their money when Incredible 2 come out. So don't worry about that. Okay. So what do you got for news?
Okay. I am going to start off with I don't even know what to think about this. So we have been talking about MoviePass on the regular. So MoviePass acquires a major production company. I think that's a bit of an overstatement, but let's see. Mostly making headlines this year for running out of money fast, MoviePass parent company Helios and Matheson is trying to overcome the bad PR with news of their latest deal. The group has an exclusive option to buy the film library and production slate of production company Emmett Furla Oasis Films. I've never even heard of these people. But they've produced such films as Lone Survivor, End of Watch, Silence, Escape Plan, Two Guns, and 2008's Rambo. And now, having been acquired, is being renamed MoviePass Films. So they're expanding their hold. We'll see what happens. I don't see where this is going. I don't see how spending money on this is going to get them where they want to go. But, yeah, we'll see where it happens. Didn't we say in one of the previous stories they thought Memorial Day weekend would be a make-or-break weekend for them?
I vaguely remember that. But,
yeah, so...
All right. Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't know. It'll be. I'm still watching this like a hawk. I when I went to see Deadpool, I used my MoviePass to go see it. I had to take they have implemented their new things, and I had to take a picture of my ticket after buying it. So, you know, they're cracking down on people using it for, you know, whatever means or whatever they're doing. So that's at least something. We'll see where it was easy. It wasn't a big hassle. It was just interesting to see how the service is changing. So yeah, that's it on MoviePass front.
All right. So kind of related to MoviePass, The New York Times had an interesting article called The Entire Economy is MoviePass Now. Enjoy it while you can. So considering how much we've talked about MoviePass, I thought that, you know, our listeners might get a chuckle out of this. All right, so it starts off, I got a great idea for a startup. Want to hear the pitch? It's called the 75-cent dollar store. We're going to sell dollar bills for 75 cents. No service charges, no hidden fees, just crisp $1 bills for the price of 3/4. It'll be huge. You're probably thinking, wait, won't your store go out of business? Nope, I got that part figured out too. The plan is to get tons of people addicted to buying 75-cent dollars so that in a year or two we can jack up the price to $1.50 or $2 without losing any customers. Or maybe we'll get so big that the Treasury Department will start selling us dollar bills at a discount. We could also collect data about our customers and sell it to the highest bidder. Honestly, we've got plenty of options. If you're still skeptical, I don't blame you. It used to be that in order to survive, businesses had to, I don't know, sell goods or services above cost. But that model is so 20th century. The new way to make it in business is to spend big, grow fast, and use Kilimanjaro-sized piles of investor cash to subsidize your losses with a plan to become profitable somewhere down the road. Overall, 76% of companies that went public last year were unprofitable on a per-share basis in the year leading up to their initial offerings, according to data compiled by Jay Ritter, a professor at the University of Florida's Warrington College of Business. That was when the largest number since the peak of the dot-com boom was in 2000, when 81% of newly public companies were unprofitable. Of the 15 technology companies that have gone public so far in 2018, only 3 have positive earnings per share in the preceding year. So keeps going on with more economics, talking about Uber. They lost $4.5 billion last year as it sought to expand internationally and fought price wars with the competitors, including Lyft. Snap, like Snapchat, lost $3.4 billion last year, its first as a public company. Airbnb just had its first profitable year after a decade of investor-backed losses. So MoviePass is not a singular occurrence here. And they keep going down and okay, so here's the reason the whole brought this up. And so they were talking about MoviePass's business model, which Slate described as creatively lighting money aflame in order to subsidize the movie going habits of some 3 million customers, has turbocharged its growth, and the company maintains it can make money by striking revenue sharing deals with theater chains or charging movie studios to advertise inside its app. And I remember about all these different things, but whenever I come to revenue sharing with theater chains, good luck. They're not gonna give up. I guess the CEO of MoviePass, as we've heard, said that the company financial troubles have been exaggerated. The company has accessed a $300 million equity line of credit that'll keep it solvent, and he blamed the company's competitors, such as large theater chains, for sowing the seeds of doubt. They smell blood in the water, and they're spreading rumors and hypotheses. But if you remember, the king of money losers is who?
The movie industry.
Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Which went years without turning a profit. Instead, it plowed billions of dollars back into its business, building out its e-commerce infrastructure and jump-starting side efforts like Amazon Web Services and Amazon Prime Video. Those years of investments paid off. They're now the second most valuable company in the world with $1.6 billion in profit last quarter alone. So just because that guy won the lotto, that means you can too.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But anyways, yeah. So
interesting. I know it's economics 101 that new businesses lose money. I mean, that's, you know, my ex-father-in-law was in the restaurant business, and you always hear restaurants run in the red for like the first 5 years. It's a guarantee. Getting a business up and running costs money. I understand that. It's getting so much focus because it's right in our wheelhouse, you know, and people are watching and want to see what's happening. And so, yeah, it is interesting to see where it goes. And yeah, there are definitely people who want to see it fail for whatever their reasons are. So, but yeah, no, that's really interesting. Can't wait to see where it goes.
All right. What do you have next?
Okay. I'm going to go with some things that are coming along that have caught my eye. First and foremost, Jennifer Garner. Always a big fan, ever since Alias and lots of things in between. But she is going to be in a show called Peppermint, which I thought was interesting. But then I saw the picture, and it's her with angel wings made out of bullets kind of a thing. So... she plays a young mother who awakens from a coma after her husband and daughter are killed in a brutal attack. When the system frustratingly shields the murderers from justice, she sets out to transform herself from citizen to urban guerrilla, spending years in hiding, honing her mind, body, and spirit to become an unstoppable force that methodically delivers her personal brand of justice. Pierre Morel, Taken in District 13, directs the film, which also stars John Ortiz, John Gallagher Jr., Method Man, Tyson Ritter. It's basically a Punisher in movie form with a female protagonist, or maybe I'm totally blanking on the Bruce Willis Death Wish. Death Wish with a female protagonist. So okay. It'll be interesting, but like I said, I've been a fan of Jennifer Garner for some time. It'll be interesting to see where this goes.
All right, so it looks like it's official that The Expanse has been renewed.
So interesting.
If you've heard on our previous show that Sci-Fi is now canceling The Expanse, but Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos himself has confirmed that the streaming service will pick up The Expanse for a fourth season after its cancellation at Sci-Fi. He said, I was talking to the cast half hour ago before the break for dinner started. I was telling them that we're working hard at Amazon to save The Expanse, but it wasn't a done deal yet. During dinner 10 minutes ago, I just got the word that The Expanse is saved. They're currently in the third season, and the season finale is expected to air early July. I was reading, I thought this was the article, but there was another article talking about how the production deal that Sci-Fi had, where they established that they were going off over-the-air ratings, which, you know, for a lot of people that watch a lot of Sci-Fi stuff, myself included, they don't watch it over the air, they watch it off their DVR. And so if you just go off the over-the-air, the ratings are terrible, and that's how Sci-Fi evaluated that they were gonna, you know, drop the axe on this. So I'm glad that hopefully it will go to a more forward-thinking outlet, so The Expanse will go on longer. And truth be told, I'm not, you know, a huge fan of The Expanse, just because, you know, I haven't watched it in any, or read the books, or any of that. But now I have a, I'm glad I'll get the chance to see the full run.
Yeah, hopefully they get the full run up there on Amazon. I've only listened to the first book. I need to get the rest and listen to them as well, because I hear nothing but good things from people who either read it, listened to it, or watched it. I'm not surprised somebody swooped in and picked it up. It just seemed too popular not to. All right. So Jamie Foxx confirmed as the new Spawn. So I collected Spawn. I had Spawn number one. I enjoyed the Spawn movie that came out. We've talked before about how Todd McFarlane is keeping a tight rein on this and keeping it a low production budget so that he can keep the reins and really control where it goes. I really like Jamie Foxx as an actor, and I think he could do well as Al Simmons. I'm looking forward to see where this goes.
All right, and that's going to be it for the news for me. So what else do you have left?
Okay, I have one last big piece of news that I will talk about. And we talked about this a while back. Annapurna Universal releasing James Bond 25. So the James Bond distribution rights situation has been sorted out. Eon Productions and MGM have set plans for the next film in the series, Daniel Craig's fifth and finally likely final outing in the role. Danny Boyle is officially set to direct the film, which John Hodge scripted based on an idea by Boyle. The new deal puts the MGM logo front and center as distributor on a Bond film for the first time in nearly two decades. Wow. So that will wrap me up as well.
All right. So that's going to be end of the news segment, and that's going to be end of this particular episode of Backseat Box Office. So our website is backseatproducers.com. You could find episodes of this show and the other show, backseatproducers.com, at backseatproducers@backseatproducers.com. If you would like to leave us a voicemail, you can leave us a voicemail at 618-207-4794. We also, Art and I, are on Twitter. I am at JB63, JAYBEE63. Art is Art Santos Jr., ArtSantosJr. Other than that, thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time. Art, what do you have to say?
Good night, everybody. Go watch a movie, call us up, and tell us about it.